Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I'm happy to be here and want to welcome everyone here. The church is not as full as it is sometimes, but there still could be some of you visiting and are happy to have you with us that I'm not seeing. This morning, my message that I want to share is about being a servant or having a servant's heart. And I was recently thinking about my childhood, and this doesn't really relate to the message, but I was thinking of the children here this morning. We have a lot of children here, and I just wanted to tell you children that I remember when I was young, I would sit maybe up here in the front bench or back a little bit, and my mind was far from what the preacher was saying. And I would be everywhere else with my imagination and everything I was doing. And so I just wanted to encourage you children that I know that what I have to say isn't always so special, or that what God has to say through the preacher or the speaker is. And there's a lot that you can learn if you will try to apply your young minds to what's being said. I want to encourage you children to listen. And, you know, the one thing that I want to do this morning is I hope that it can be, some of it might not be interesting to you, but I still want you to try to understand what is being said, because later in life you will appreciate it. And so encourage you children with that, those thoughts. You are the church, and you are going to be what we need in years to come. So we just really want you to be part of it this morning and in every service. So being a servant is my message, and but it is more about focused more on having a servant's heart. In the kingdom of God, you know, there in the church, there's a great need for people to serve. I think there's a huge need for people to serve. And but God needs people to serve him that are servants in their heart, that are servants in their heart and mind. And the struggle that many people struggle with is being content and willing to serve with a servant's heart. We're a lot of times willing to serve, or maybe not willing to serve, but actually having that servant's heart is what we struggle with. And I think that many of us get very confused between which kingdom we are a part of. A little bit like I thought of Peter this morning in our Sunday school lesson. I think that he was very confused of which kingdom he was a part of. He didn't understand the kingdom of God as it was just being introduced. But I think that we struggle with that too in our church. In the kingdom of this world, it is a political race to who will serve. And people get to choose where they serve. And then it becomes a thing of who presents himself as the best person for the job, just as in our presidential race. You see that a lot. And in the kingdom of God, we can serve in many different ways, and there is much need for people to serve, but there is also a lack of people willing to serve. And we are tempted to want to serve at things that we can get recognition for. But the things that we don't get recognition for, we're not so willing to serve. I'm not accusing you. I'm looking at my own life too. And, you know, it takes someone who has a servant's heart to be willing to serve at whatever the task is, no matter if it's lowly or whatever it is. It takes a servant's heart, and that's what I want to talk about this morning a little bit more. I was trying to find a story or something to bring this point out more clear to lead us in the right, our minds in the right way, and I came upon this story about two senators. One was John Stennis. He was a Mississippi senator He was getting old. He was a Democrat. And then the other senator was an Oregon senator. He was a Republican. This was 20 years ago. But one night after being on Capitol Hill all day, John Stennis was on his way home, and he just as he got out of his car to go in his house, a couple robbers robbed him and shot him, and shot him twice, I think it was. Anyhow, he was in the hospital, and they were doing major surgery on him to keep him alive, and Mark Hatfield heard about it over the news on his way home a couple hours later. He was Oregon senator. And he turned his car around, and he went to the hospital, and he was going to do something in about this. And he got to the hospital, and he saw that he was going to be in surgery for a long time. But he looked over at the station where the nurses and people taking calls, and he saw that there was one phone empty, and that the main guy that was answering calls about John Stennis from all over the nation, people were calling in, that he couldn't keep up. The phone was just ringing and ringing and ringing. So he just went over to that phone and sat down there and started answering the calls and start just answering people's questions. And they said he was there all night. And the next morning, you know, daylight, he came out of surgery and he kept answering questions. And finally it sort of calmed down. And he looked over at the other guy that was doing the same thing he was, and then he said, well, looks like I can go home now, and shook his hand, said, thank you. He asked his name, said, my name's Mark Hatfield, and I guess I'll be on my way now. And anyhow, all of a sudden they recognized to hear this was this senator from Oregon, Republican, that was against the Democrat, that was there just taking, you know, being a servant all night. It was something like the world doesn't know what to do with. Here in the midst of the kingdom of God, the world, in the political world, was someone willing to have I think he had a servant's heart. He's willing to do it unnoticed, just whatever the thing was. And I just want to encourage us with that, to start off with this. This week at the pastor's retreat, and I too want to thank you for the gift that you gave us. It was perfect for going over there, paying for our expenses over there, and we were richly blessed. But I was reminded over there, listening to the other pastors speak and the things that we talked about, of how a leader must be a servant and have a servant's heart. That's what got me going on this. That's what got me looking at this a little more closer. You know, I want to tell you a little bit the pastor's retreat, too. You know, we have been meeting in Whitefish, Montana, at a lodge over there. And this is the third year. There are minister meetings like this all over the world. But ours might be a little more different because we're not really making any decisions. We're just encouraging each other. We're not part of a fellowship. We're just encouraging each other. And so we're different in that way. And it was a good time. I noticed that other pastors, I've seen that some of them, they changed my mind, and I've noticed that they've changed their mind over the last couple of years towards the better. But one subject we discussed was about pastors who are discouraged and feel alone. And, you know, that one seemed to be a real relevant discussion, because I heard more than one pastor say that subject was really needed. And then we also discussed how we could do better at encouraging the churches in which we serve. But again, the thing that kept coming back to my mind, and I might be the only one that heard this, was the importance of pastors having a servant's heart. And so I decided to study this more. And as I studied this message, I found out that, you know, that there's been quite a few studies done in the last few years, and they are pretty discouraging results. And it has to do with the percentage of church members that don't trust their church leaders. And that study is showing that it's growing really, really fast right now that church members are losing trust in their pastors at a very fast rate right now, faster than ever in the church history of the church, or as far as they've been doing that study. So let's say maybe for the last 50 years. Right now, people are losing trust in their pastors at a very fast rate. And that sort of discouraged me. And I had to think about this, that I really believe it is important for leaders to have a servant's heart. And I know that as a deacon in this church that I must have that too. Not in my description, but in my heart and in my mind, in my life. And it's a high standard to obey. And I also know that is what Jesus wants from me. I know he wants that, to be a humble servant. It's very important for leaders to be humble servants. And so this morning, I do want to look at my heart first and foremost. But I also believe that each of us has needs to have a servant's heart, no matter what our position is in the church. We all need a servant's heart. I know I need it worse, but I know that we all do need it. But I do not want my message to be pointing out to you as listeners that to say that you need it worse than me. I want this message to be for my heart and life most. And I hope that the Holy Spirit can use it in your life as you allow him to. So for a scripture, if you will turn with me to Matthew 20, we'll read several verses out of there. Matthew 20 through 28. I'm sorry, Matthew 20, verse 20 through 28 is what I'm going to read. Then came him, and I guess that I should give a little history maybe here before I start off. Well, I think you'll catch on. So verse 20 in chapter 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these, my two sons, may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm going to stop there. And I have another little story that I want to share before I move on. D.L. Moody, when he was working as a minister, as an evangelist, and he would have these schools where he would bring in ministers from all over the world. And this was the first time he brought in a bunch of ministers from Europe. There was a bunch of European ministers that came they wanted to be part of this organization. Anyhow, they got together to have a meeting with them. And at night, he noticed that when he walked down to the dormitory where all these ministers were sleeping in the rooms, outside of their rooms, everyone had their shoes outside of the room. And as was their custom where they came from, their servants always took their shoes and cleaned them up for the next morning. But and D.L. Moody recognized right away that this is America. We don't do that. We don't have anybody to clean their shoes. All these European ministers are going to be sorely disappointed tomorrow morning when their shoes are dirty and nobody cleaned them. So he went and asked one of his other people if they could clean them, and they said they would, but they had something they couldn't do. So finally, he took the shoes himself, and he took them down to his room, and he cleaned shoes. He cleaned shoes a long time that night, and no one knew about it. But anyhow, there was one pastor that knew about this little thing that he did, just to, you know, so they wouldn't be offended. And he started a little tradition. A lot of these European pastors thought that he was doing it just to prove a lesson. They didn't understand that he was not wanting to offend them. And so he had about three or four that snuck down every night to help him clean shoes for the rest of it. Anyhow, I just share that you know, as a leader, we have to get down and do the dirty work sometimes. As a servant, to have a servant's heart, we have to do that. And Jesus said it in this passage too. So as we look at this passage, we see two disciples racing for prestige. And they had possibly agreed that it didn't matter which side of Jesus they would sit in his kingdom, just so the family could reserve that position for people to see is all that really matters. I actually don't know what they were thinking, but it's very obvious that they had a discussion at home with mom that we want to be on each side of Jesus in his kingdom. And then you see the other disciples very upset at the arrogance of these two brothers. And they reacted the same way that we do today. When we see our friends manipulating things around to gain recognition, we get upset at them because we're either embarrassed for them or we're jealous of them. And Jesus looks on and he sees this going on and he says to his disciples, you don't understand the kingdom properly. That's the problem. And he explained to them that in the kingdom of the world, it is. You race for that, you know, to get that title, that position. And whoever is greatest among you has authority over all these people. And it just works that way. Then he went on to explain to them that what makes a person great or what really brings people respect in his kingdom is a lot different than what it is in the worldly kingdom. And I think that is, he was trying to teach them that we need to have a servant's heart. That's what he wanted to teach in this passage. And it worked out that it just happened to come about because two of his disciples were racing to have that special position. You know, this concept that Jesus taught here, to have a servant's heart, is very hard. It's hard to comprehend from a worldly vision. You know, when we accept Jesus and we understand Jesus, then we can understand it better. But someone who doesn't know Jesus, that's a pretty hard thing to understand. And many times you can see someone that is a servant and can be a pretty good servant, but are not really a servant in their heart. And I look at my own life as I study this. You know, I can act like I'm a servant, but do I actually have that servant's heart? And I know sometimes it's hard to separate those two. Maybe they are closely connected. But I know that I have been guilty. And I'll confess that I don't always have a true servant's heart like I should. I struggle with that. And I think there are people that are are more selfless than other people are. Naturally, they're not as selfish as what other people are naturally in this world. And even in the church, there's some of us that are more selfish than others. And some of us can naturally be not as selfish. But that doesn't give us a servant's heart. that doesn't change that we still have to take on that new choice to have a servant's heart. So what really counts, I believe, is what when a person not only is a servant, but that you actually choose to have a servant's heart. You know, the Bible says in several places that Moses was a servant of the Lord. And I studied Moses a little bit in just the normal stories that we read, trying to understand why he was called the meekest man. Why was he called that he was a servant of the Lord? There were other men that were called servant of the Lord, but as I looked it up, there were more verses, many, many more verses that called Moses and referred to Moses as a servant of the Lord than there was any other men. And I think that Moses believed it in his heart. It was more than being humble and being willing to serve. I think Moses had it in his heart. I don't think he did it because he was trying to gain respect. I think he did honestly have a servant's heart. The reason that I think that he did is, you know, the one time Moses was in the mountain and God said that your people, the people down there, my people, have turned their backs on me. And God was very angry at them. And he just was ready to destroy them. And Moses stuck up for him. He said, don't do that. He said, you'll change your mind. Don't do that. And Moses sort of interceded for them to God. And I think that's a real test of if someone has a servant's heart or not, is that when they can help stand in for people, even if they don't deserve it. The people had treated Moses bad, and he still stuck up for him. He still stood in there for him. And Jesus, in this passage, told his disciples very clearly that if you want to be great in his kingdom, you must learn to be humble and serve other people ahead of yourself. Having a servant's heart requires us to give up of ourselves in whichever way God leads us. Having a servant's heart is not something you can ask from God and expect it to happen. If you really want to have a servant's heart, if you decide that you desire that, you have to be very intentional. You have to make a conscious decision that you will be a servant. And I have 5 attributes that I wrote down that tell, or maybe we can test, to see if we have a servant's heart or not. Number 1, a servant's heart is willing to obey God regardless of the cost. Number 2, a servant's heart is humble. Number 3, a servant's heart is willing to serve others regardless of class or whether someone deserves it or not. A servant's heart prefers others ahead of me. A servant's heart has compassion for people who have made mistakes. You know, there's a lot of people that, a lot of Christians, even here, some of us have made mistakes. And we reap what we sow. And so it's easy for us to look out there. They're going to continue reaping what they sow. They deserve to do that. And we forget to give that person a second or third chance, fourth chance. I'm just saying that a servant's heart has compassion for those people and is willing to not write those people off, but to give them another chance, even if they've made those mistakes. We all do that. To me, when I see someone who demonstrates a humble attitude with kindness, I think that person is willing to be a servant, and it encourages me. It attracts me. And I think many pastors in the world are missing this attribute, and I believe this is a big reason church members are losing trust in their pastors. You know, in 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, he said, and the servant of the Lord, regardless if you're an ordained pastor or you're a servant of the Lord, whatever you're doing, each of us can be a servant of the Lord, must not strive, must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. And I think that was that really speaks to me. So we now more than ever need pastors who have a servant's heart. But I would like to change the direction of this message a little now. I would like to ask us all to look at our own hearts. You know, it's easy for me to see you not being a servant, but it's a lot harder for me to see me not being a servant. And so I'd like to us to challenge us all to look at our own hearts this morning. You know, we as pastors, we don't really have a choice. If we are interested in being a faithful under-shepherd, we don't really have a choice but to diligently seek to have a servant's heart. If we want our ministry to be blessed and successful and powerful. And so this morning, regardless of your title, I believe we all need a servant's heart. And you may feel that no one cares about my heart really, really that much. But I would like you to encourage you to look deep into your personal life and evaluate your heart. Do you have a servant's heart? I also want to challenge us as a congregation about serving. You know, I think if each of us would be willing to say honestly about how we feel about serving, I think that each of us would have to say that there isn't one of us here that could say that we do not have a desire to serve. I think somewhere in every heart here this morning, there is a desire to serve. And I do not want to argue this out, but just simply, you know, ask you to consider that thought. There is a desire in every Christian to serve in some way. I believe there is. I don't think that, I don't believe that every person has the same degree of desire. Some people have more of a desire to serve than others. Some people maybe feel that they barely can feel that desire. Maybe it's pretty faint. But I think that you do have it somewhere there. And I would like to challenge you by asking you to consider two things. You know, the one thing is to stop ignoring that desire and listen, because God gave that to you. It didn't come from your selfish ambition. God gave you that desire to serve. Even if it's really small, he still gave it to you. You should not ignore it. And then I would also like to challenge you and ask you to consider your own heart. Do you have a servant's heart? Ask you that again. You know, your service will not be, your serving will not be successful, and the Holy Spirit doesn't work very well with a service that does not come from a servant's heart. And I just encourage you to look at that in your own life. And I want to repeat again a test that you can give, we can give ourselves. And there are more tests, but these are just five things that came to my mind as I was meditating. A servant's heart is willing to obey God regardless of the cost. A servant's heart is humble. A servant's heart is willing to serve others regardless of class or whether someone deserves it or not. A servant's heart prefers others ahead of me. A servant's heart has compassion for people who have made mistakes. So I'm challenging our congregation here to listen to that small desire you have to serve and also to have a servant's heart. Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, we have to be a servant of all. And people who are willing to serve at the lowly, undesirable jobs without any recognition are the ones who are great in God's kingdom. They're the ones that are great in the kingdom of God, whoever they are. And that is really different from the kingdom of this world and the presidential race that we're looking at right now. So in closing, I do have a burden on my heart for the needs of our church and in our community. You know, I have been thinking recently about these needs, and I see some ways that that people in this church could become more involved with serving. And I'm not saying that you're not serving, because I think a lot of you are serving, and I'm encouraged by what I see, and I know there's a lot I do not see. And I think God will bless you for that, especially if we make a commitment to have a servant's heart while doing it. So, but the thing that has really stuck in my mind there's a lot of other things that could be done. I just see this. But I know that there is, I think there's a lack of visiting going on in our church and in our community. I see so much need that people need visited. And I think that there's a lot more that we could do. I know you're doing it already. I'm not saying we're doing poorly. I just think that we could do more. I see more needs. And I try to do some of it, but I don't do enough of it either. And some of it's not appropriate, maybe, for me to do. But in the kingdom of God, we are not supposed to wait for an invite to visit other people and encourage them. In the kingdom of the world, it's appropriate to wait for an invite, and it's proper. But in our church, if someone needs encouragement, I encourage you to gather some food and to go visit each other. There's many people that need that in our church to visit each other. And in our community, I know of several needs that could be searched into right now that people, I think they need encouragement. They need visited. They need someone to go talk to them, have coffee with them. That's just one way we can serve. That's just one way. And I know that there are many other ways. But I think that we could stay busy serving the Lord with a servant's heart, in a very unnoticeable way, doing those things. And again, I want to say that I know that many of you are doing a lot of those things. But I encourage you to keep up, do more, and do it with a servant's heart. So I guess that's about all I have this morning. But just want to remind us again that we need to have servants' hearts so we don't get sidetracked with excuses why we cannot do what we know we should do. And I guess I'll leave with that. Maybe bow our heads for a word of prayer.